Hey there. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast. I am so glad you're here. This show is for leaders who care. Leaders who know that when things get messy, the way we communicate makes all the difference. Every week I sit down with incredible guests, founders, VPs, rising stars, to unpack real moments of today where communication matters. We talk about what works, what doesn't, and how you can lead conversations that create trust, movement, and momentum. Because in uncertain times like today, your words have weight. Let's use them well. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we slow things down just a bit to help you speak with more clarity and confidence when it matters most. Our episodes are just 20 minutes long. We're going to give you practical communication tips in response to what is happening to our world, in response to what's happening within your work. And our topic today is all around information overload and messaging fatigue. I get so many messages in my inbox. I'm sure you do too. And I'm sure our guest, our leader, also does too, because he's a VP of American Worldwide Agencies. Early on, he's learned from his father to put your name on everything. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. And within his firm, they are a company known to get information where information is constant and normalized. So we're going to learn from him how to organize all this information in a way that is going to be beneficial and productive for you and your teams. And so please help me welcome Gerald. Hi, Gerald.
Hi, Belinda. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be joining you on your podcast today.
Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm looking forward to learning from you. And so before we begin, can you share with the audience what excites you about what you do at American Worldwide Agencies?
I am always focused on the people, and that's the thing that I get the most excitement out of. The most gratifying part of my job is seeing some of my team members, some of my co-workers, some of my colleagues do better than what they even thought that they could, succeeding in a task that, they thought exceeded their capabilities. So really seeing like how people grow in their professional capacities, that's something that's really important to me. I always think like work is a great environment for us to test and challenge our skills that we can then bring to our lives outside of work, and it helps us to become better people. So, that's really what I'm focused on, is like how can we make our work environment a place where people get challenged, get to learn these skills of like time management, creating focus, prioritization, bring that into their personal lives, which will ultimately help them to become better people.
Wow. What a great organization to work at, where people can feel like they are not only just professionally growing, but personally growing and being challenged and putting their best foot forward. And also the executives are recognizing that they do that. So kudos to you. And so how do you do this with what you do at the organization? Information is key. Information is the commodity. It's how you help your support and how you help your clients and customers. So how do you organize all this information and help and to be productive?
So great question. Thank you very much, Melinda. I think to give our audience like a little bit of context, just want to give a brief overview of what it is that American Worldwide Agencies does. Mm-hmm. So we're technically a wholesale freight forwarder. And for the people out there that's never heard the words freight forwarding before, you're not alone. I've tried to explain this to my friends. All of them look at me with puzzled faces. Freight forwarding is basically like Expedia for commercial cargo. So just like how we would go on Expedia to try and book a flight for us from, let's say, Los Angeles to Rome, there are companies out there that's looking to move some of their cargo, some of their shipments from, let's say, Los Angeles to Sydney. And that's where freight forwarders come into play. Freight forwarders are essentially brokers of the freight world. So not a lot of freight forwarders physically own the assets. So when I say assets, I'm referring to the planes and the boats and the trucks that move the cargo, but they do have contracts with these parties that move it. So at any given day, to tie in with like the information overload of this, this topic of conversation, at any given day on a single shipment, I am dealing with a trucker, a warehouse, a airline, a steamship line, terminals that we need to get approval from, government authorities who need to oversee shipments. So there's constant information being thrown at us at any given time. And where we add value to the market is we organize that information and we provide that to our customer in a way that they can consume it and they can understand, okay, my shipment is getting picked up today, being brought over here, and I can expect it at my front doorstep in 4 days or in 5 days. So that's really why I think this topic ties in very well with what we do, and why I think like this is a great topic of discussion for me to discuss with you today.
Yeah, I mean, because you're dealing with a lot of policy changes, both locally and also internationally. Things are constantly changing. And so you have to be on top of all the information that's coming towards you. And
Absolutely. And I think like what makes freight forwarding such an exciting industry is it's essentially like a backstage pass to what's happening in the world. Like we hear about like tariffs being imposed on different countries. Like not a lot of that changes, like has an impact on everyone's like day-to-day lives, but we can see that on the shipments that are moving in or out of the US, right? Because those policy changes immediately affect that. And now you've got to understand this policy change, understand how it's going to impact the business of your customer, and then communicate it to your customer in a way that they can understand it.
And so it's so critical, this information, because it can impact, it can have a domino effect
Correct, correct.
to,
So, and I think that's why it's so important for us. Like as an organization, we've looked at like creating clarity and focus, because what we're trying to do for our customers is to create clarity. Like what is going on with my shipment? Where can I get the latest status update? And the only way that we can create that for our customers is if we can create that for the people that work within our organization. If we don't create that clarity and focus for the people in our organization, ultimately that's going to have an effect on the amount of clarity that we can provide to our customers.
But where do you draw the line? Because if this information is so critical and important to your clients and important to the team, it's coming at us from email, from text, from Slack. How do we draw the line? Because if we miss something, it could cost millions of dollars.
Absolutely. And I think drawing the line there, that's very dependent on like the business that you're dealing with. I think what we've trialed and errored, trialed and tested, should I say, not trialed and errored, that implies a negative, but trialed and tested in our business is, we just look at very basic tools that all of us have available to us in corporate America to help create a little bit of focus for our teams. So the three things we've really put a lot of focus on is organizational structure and clear communication channels, well-defined job descriptions, and then regular performance reviews. So sounds super basic, super simple, but the amount of effort and intention we've put into it has made the difference for us. So when it comes to like defining organizational hierarchy and communication channels, making sure that every layer of our organization knows exactly who reports to who, if I need to go and ask a question, who do I need to get that information from, how do things get escalated? That's kind of like prepping the team to make sure that everyone throughout the organization, we're not siloing information. We are absorbing it, right? We're not siloing information. We've got a tried and tested like communication flow of information down to everyone else in the organization. So, information would come into like the executive level, and then through the organizational hierarchy, it would make it through to the mid-level managers, supervisors, coordinators, and then ultimately down to the operator level. And everyone understands this information has been absorbed, dissected, and the parts that apply to me that relate to my job description and what I'm supposed to do, that information is being passed on to me. So we've really just spent a lot of time with that. What we've then done in conjunction with that is You've really taken some time to put together job descriptions with a lot of intention. I think, with the rise of tools such as AI in the business, which is, a buzzword these days, people sometimes gloss over the importance of a job description. I see job descriptions as, when you go bowling, when you were a kid and you go bowling and they put up those like safety rail guards on the side, right? So you can throw the ball and it will bounce off the guards, but it will still hit the pins. That is what we see job descriptions as,
Love it.
right? So you're defining guardrails for people to help them understand, like, what is my core focus in my role? Is my core focus in the role customer satisfaction, or is my core focus in the role responding to a Teams message that just came in, right? Like, and we have to delineate between, what is important in your role versus, what are distractions that come in throughout the day. So we've defined that very, very well. And then, job descriptions really only work when you can give people respectful, constructive feedback on a regular basis. I think I'm a big fan of Stephen Covey, and I think he was the guy that coined the term dialogue is oxygen to the workplace. If you stop anyone on my team, they will tell you that they're tired of me saying that. But I always say, like, dialogue's oxygen to the workplace. Me as a manager, as a leader within our business, I need to be able to receive constructive feedback, right? It's something that helps me to grow. So just what we've done with our like performance reviews is, we've identified the core responsibilities and focuses for each one of our team members through their job description. That is then pulled through to their performance review. And it is linked with key performance indicators that has metrics associated with it. And they get regular feedback on that. We currently have a quarterly performance review program where we sit down with each one of our employees for at least an hour every quarter to give them that feedback. I think we'll change that to, as we've grown, we're sitting at around like 170 employees at this stage. And so you can imagine that's a lot of reviews that take
That's a
place.
lot of reviews. I'm thinking, maybe
Yeah.
biannually.
Biannually. So we're in the process of switching that to more biannual, to still give people that feedback. So you'll see what your job description looks like. That will translate through to your performance review, which has specific KPIs built in there, which is very clearly communicated to you. And then you'll get scores on it. So we engage in that constant feedback. We don't just say that dialogue's oxygen to the workplace. We try to live it as well.
And you mentioned, are you doing anything around employee engagement? Are you having an employee? Because I can imagine continuing to do this over years, employees must be very satisfied and engaged with the work that they do.
So we are we launched this initiative for this year called the Year of Action, and the concept behind the Year of Action is broken down into like three components. So how can we make, 2026 our year of action, where we continue to grow as a business and mature, because we were a smaller company, but we're maturing to a more like mid-sized corporate entity here in the US. And this year of action, the three components that we've identified as important to us is dialogue, action, recognition. Dialogue means, how can we have open, clear, honest dialogue with one another? Doesn't always need to be positive. Sometimes, dialogue can involve friction, but done in a respectful manner. How can we use that dialogue to, one, diagnose the challenge that we're facing, two, brainstorm to come up with potential solutions for that challenge? That helps lay the foundation. Once we've brainstormed potential solutions, we then empower people to take action on those. So whether that be at the operator level, at the supervisor level, or at the manager level, we empower people to say, you guys have come up with this great idea or this great concept. Let's go and let's follow through on it. So that gives people a little bit of like agency, right? They can see, if I speak up and I have this idea, it will be seen and have the opportunity to execute on the idea. Not all ideas work out the way we intend them to, but again, that's an opportunity. Then we just go back to step one and we say, dialogue, where did this go wrong? How can we learn from it? And then the third component to this is recognition for us. I think recognition is the ultimate momentum builder within a business. So we try to recognize people on in small ways, in big ways, and that needs to be be done very intentional. Managers usually have a good understanding of the staff members that they work with. So, whether your staff member would prefer the quiet tap on the shoulder and say, "Well done with this job," or if someone, likes a little bit more like public recognition, we'll recognize them on our social media platforms, in our internal weekly newsletters that we distribute within the company, to just say to recognize this person for engaging in dialogue, taking action, and ultimately getting the result or learning from it.
I love it. And did you know that 2026 is the year of the horse, which means action and momentum? So you're right on the riding the energy of the year of the horse. Year
Man,
action.
I didn't know that that was the symbol of the year of the horse,
Year of
but
the horse,
look
action
at
and
that.
momentum. You're in
Look
alignment.
at that.
And so
Look
I
at
love that. But like you said, recognition, hardly anybody will ever, I mean, dialogue, action, and recognition.
that.
And I don't think executives or people think about that enough, because they're running the business. And so how have you been able to get the entire company in alignment with doing these quarterly alignment or the performance feedback reviews? And it's amazing to have this type of culture while running the business and doing business, meeting with clients, getting bigger deals and expanding the business to other regions. That's amazing.
I think, like what we've tried to do is like every component of our business has different priorities, right? Like if you're in business development or sales, like your priorities are, I need to get in front of customers, I need to try and build our business. If your focus is more on operations, then you need to make sure the specific key performance indicators we've established with our clients, they need to be met. So your focus is so, we're all in the same business, but we have a very different focus and a very different idea of what success looks like in our role. Again, so this just comes back to, we've gone like very basic on this. It draws back to the job descriptions. Job description tells you what your focus is, and that's what you'll be assessed on because you'll get those performance reviews. And when we came up with these like three components, action or dialogue, action, recognition, the question we kept on asking ourselves were, how can we define three concepts that is understood universally from the top of our organization all the way down to the bottom? If I walk out into our warehouse and I talk to the gentleman that's driving the forklift, he needs to understand what action, dialogue, recognition looks like in his role. And if we can, get behind those same concepts, like, he has a very different focus to the, director of sales who is out meeting clients today. But, in his role and in his responsibility or in his focus, there's also an opportunity for him to engage in dialogue, action, and recognition. So we've really just looked at like what are these very basic elements that everyone in the company can understand. And then we're just reinforcing that. And it's very difficult. Like we're an organization that has just over 170 employees. So I don't want to sit here and say like, hey, we're the perfect organization. We've got all these things figured out. We learn and we grow as we've gone through this. One of the things we've learned in previous years is that when launching an initiative like this, consistency is really key. You have to revisit this on regular occasions with the people within your company. So what we've done from this is, we are hosting 26 workshops throughout the year where we go into specific topics that tie in with dialogue, action, and recognitions. So, one of the first meetings, one of the first workshops of the year are coming up tomorrow. And the topic of that conversation or the topic of that workshop is going to be, dialogue isn't always positive, and that's okay. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for my team? And then again, because we've got these clear, defined communication channels, we discuss these with our managers within the company. That information flows down to the supervisors, coordinators, the operators. So this message gets spread across the company as a whole. We just really double down on that. And that's how
I love it.
we're trying to get alignment throughout the entire organization.
And you're providing these guardrails. You're providing, right, these this really systemized, organized way of having conversation and dialogue, and it might not be the positive dialogue, but it's okay because you're having real conversations about what that might look like and how to hold each other to action and how to recognize people. And when you do these across the team, expanded teams in a consistent way, you're going to have the whole organization feel that change, feel that shift, and know how to have. I mean, you're singing the same sheet of music, because this is what I like to do with teams. How do we use communication as an engine to drive growth for the company? And this is what this is all about. Right. But I love how you're distilling down. We started this conversation off with information overload, right? Too much information, and it's coming from all over the place, but you made it so simple. It's the job description. It's having performance evaluations and the dialogue with my manager, and I have the direct channel of who I'm going to talk to, and the expectation that it's okay to have dialogue even if it's uncomfortable. So all of these are beautiful guardrails to have communication be a way that is not overwhelming, that is focused, and that it all helps me to it helps us move together in one direction.
I think what it really comes down to, right, is we live in a world where you are constantly like everyone is competing for your attention, right? Whether that be like a notification on your phone through some sort of social media app, a phone call, a Teams message, a text message, an email, like everyone's constantly like vying for our attention, and I think that we're not necessarily going to change that of the world, right? So what we need to focus on is how can we change our response to that? How can we better equip all people to understand this is important, this is not important, this is something that needs to make me anxious, this is not something that needs to make me anxious. So we're focusing more on how do we improve our way of dealing with information overload through very simple, very simple things that every business has across the, across the world. Everyone across the world has job descriptions. I'm hoping they have performance reviews, but everyone has an org chart and all those kinds of things. So it's very basic concepts, but they've enabled us to, to help all people succeed with this, with discerning between this is information that, that deserves my attention or no, this is my core focus.
Wow. So I learned a lot today that your dad did instill a very powerful message that you've carried on, and I could see the sows and the benefits of what he taught you early on. And that is, when you do something, you're putting your name across it. What was it that he said?
So my dad, I was born in South Africa. My dad is, he came from a military background. And I remember he gave me this task one weekend and said, like, hey, I want you to do this thing. And me just being a kid, it's a little chore around the yard, right? Me being a kid, I put in minimum effort, got it done to the point where he couldn't give me trouble for not doing it, but I definitely didn't put the effort into it that I should have. And I just remember him like calling me afterwards when he came to look at how I did it. And he was like, listen, son, like I'm not mad at you. Like you did do what I asked you to do, but just remember that everything in your life that you do, like imagine taking a labeling gun and putting your name on it and the rest of the world can see that. So are you, I'm not going to ask you, like, I'm not going to be mad at you for the way that you did this, but I want you to ask yourself the question, are you proud of the effort that you put into this? And if you can't tr answer that truthfully, then you're in a then you're a problem. I mean, we've got one name, right? So I never want the quality of my work to defame my name. So that's
I
where that
love it.
came from.
And I see, I'm sure that American Worldwide Agencies also feels that impact as well.
I'm hoping so. I'll continue to work on it and continue to see if there's better ways that I can help people succeed in their roles.
I agree. And just ha asking that question, constantly asking that question, and you will be taken there. And so, what is that one takeaway that you want people to remember?
I think the one takeaway that people or that I want people to remember is, there's a lot of like self-help podcasts, books, all these things out there. But and we can read through all of these things and we can launch initiative after initiative with our teams week after week. But ultimately, what it comes down to is you need to be able to create, your teams are going to be confused by, multitude of different stimuli coming in. Like with, as we said, the communication overload, like there's going to be so much messaging fatigue that your teams are going to experience. But ultimately, what can you as an individual do to help them succeed in it? If I'm picking an initiative, I want to be consistent with that. Like, we've learned in the past, we've launched initiatives to help try and create focus with the respective teams in our company. But what we've lacked was consistency. Choose something that can resonate with your entire organization, something that, the CEO can understand, but also something that the front desk clerk can understand and is applicable to their role, and be consistent with it. Invest in the people in your business to help them deal with some of this messaging fatigue through very simple measures. And that's I think how you equip your people to deal with it a little bit better.
Yeah, I love that. Be consistent with it. So pick something and be consistent with it, follow through with it. And it doesn't have to be something elaborate, just something simple, because that's how it sticks. That's how the whole organization can get on board. Yeah. And do it. Right. Love that. Well, thank you so much, Gerald. That was amazing, wonderful conversation. Thank you for sharing your insights and experiences with us. Really appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Melinda. It's fantastic to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me. It was an incredible privilege.
Thank you. And thank you, audience, for being here. Remember, anytime you have a chance to communicate, you are also connecting and making a positive difference. Take care. Until next time. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in today. If this conversation sparked something for you, if you're thinking, "We talk a lot in our organization and things still fall through the cracks. We're not getting the results that we want," I've got something for you that might help. It's called the Accountability Self-Assessment, and it takes less than 60 seconds. In one quick review, you'll get real insights as to why accountability and results are slipping on your team. And you'll walk away with a legacy accountability card. It's a simple one-pager framework to help you and your team move talk to traction. Because the legacy of you and your team is built more than just meetings. It's built on clarity, consistency, and follow-through. So grab it today. Go to speakandflow.com or click on the link in the show notes. It's free, fast, and built for busy leaders like you. See you next time. Until then, keep communicating with impact and momentum.